Ooh, the cupboard smells really nice. I've washed a load of clothes and I've put them in my cupboard that I use as a sound booth and also as a clothes hanging place, which is, I suppose, the more conventional use for a cupboard. The fact that I said I use it as a booth really naturally, and then I was like, and a clothes hanging place. Ooh, I'm quite innovative, you know. Clothes hanging place in a cupboard. I've just done loads of laundry. It smells really nice. And I'm whispering because Ben is in bed. It's quite late in the evening. I'm recording this night, 11 o'clock. So Ben's in bed, so I'm whispering. So it's going to be a whispered podcast. You like that idea, Chloe? Yeah. That's such an old reference now. I haven't mentioned Chloe for ages. I don't even know if she's around anymore. I mean, I assume she's alive. I mean, I don't know if she's listening. She might have moved on to another folk singer's blog. How very fickle, Chloe. Anyway, it's a bit pointless speaking to her. She's not here. Oh, let me know if you're here, Chloe. Come on. Let's get rid of this anonymity. Whose anonymity? Oh, well, that's okay. I don't mind if Chloe's gone, as long as anonymity's there. Hello, Anna. Good to have you on board. Anyway, David's Daily Digital Dollop. Dollop 137. My alter ego is back. Courtesy of The Big Issue. Today I accidentally knelt on my phone and severely cracked the screen. I was surprised to note how calm and unbothered I was, bearing in mind that bits of the screen were starting to flake and fall off. I merely brushed them onto my desk and put them in the bin, before coolly returning to my phone to inspect what was left of my screen. I was surprised by my level of zen-like collectedness and coolness. Perhaps it's the therapeutic influence of all those cats on me from Saturday. If so, then it was well worth the £5 and the salad stealing. Maybe we could drag Trump to the cafe for a day and see if it can sort him out a bit. Apple have tested the iPhones for durability by doing tests that involve dropping them from a variety of heights. And there are bold statements that brag about their resilience, seemingly supported by videos with titles such as "An Apple iPhone Survives the Ultimate Drop Test, Plummeting 9,300 Feet Out of a Plane." There are loads of these videos. People encasing the phones in ice, people dropping their phones from the top of really tall buildings, and even one where the phone is dropped from space. I suppose the idea is that if a phone can survive a drop of over 9,000 feet, then it can survive anything. However, this is far from the truth. Granted, if you were the kind of person who is clumsy enough to drop your phone from 9,000 feet, then it's reassuring to know that Apple have you covered. But if you're the kind of reckless buffoon who does something really stupid, like kneeling on their phone for half a second, then I'm afraid you won't be so lucky. I think I might join the geeky tech reviewers and set up my own YouTube channel reviewing phones, only I will focus on putting the phones through their paces when it comes to being knelt on for half a second. Except that it wouldn't be as exciting and as dramatic and cinematic as dropping a phone from a plane. But I would argue that it's much more practical and that more people are likely to briefly kneel on their phone than drop it from 9,000 feet or accidentally freeze it in ice for a week. I think Apple might want to sort out their priorities a little bit here. In Dollop 95, now I'm sure you'll probably remember this. Oh yes, we all remember what was going on in Dollop 95. But just for those who aren't aware, in Dollop 95, I mentioned that I'd done an interview with The Big Issue about the young'uns. That article has been released today, as I discovered due to a tweet from The Big Issue, which declared that they had an interview with Dave Eagles from the young'uns. I can't understand how they managed to get my name wrong. I emailed the answers to their interview questions back to them via david@davideagle.co.uk. I have a signature at the bottom of my email that includes my name, David Eagle, my website, davideagle.co.uk, and my Twitter name, @thedavideagle. Also, at the very top of the document that I sent them, in bold letters, it says, "Answers by David Eagle, the young'uns." Even after all those clues, if you still weren't entirely sure, a second's worth of Googling would soon tell you that I am called David Eagle. So how and why did they abbreviate my first name and pluralise my surname? I don't mind people calling me Dave, some of my friends sometimes do, but when it comes to my website, my name in any press articles or PR material, newspaper magazines or web articles, I am always referred to as David Eagle. So where has Dave Eagle come from? On my first day at my office job, about 6 years ago, I was given my own email address. Great, I am officially part of the team, I thought. Except my email address started with david.eagles. I immediately notified the person who had created my email account, but she didn't seem particularly bothered about changing it, and so I was just stuck with it. At first, whenever people referred to me as David Eagles in their email, I would correct them and tell them that I was actually called David Eagle. But I communicated with so many different people and different departments and different organisations that it just became too time-consuming and tedious to keep putting them right. It also just seemed a bit pointless. If I was at a meeting with other organisations, I would introduce myself as David Eagle, and then later, if I had to give out my email address, I would have to say that it was David.Eagles, and then explain the whole situation, which took up time, confused people, and also didn't really advertise the place that I was working for in a very good light. Do we really want to do business with a company who can't set up an email account properly? And then, when they've realised that they've made an error, can't even be bothered to correct it. Also, I was getting phone calls from people complaining that I hadn't replied to their emails, and then I discovered that the reason for that was because they'd emailed David.Eagle instead of David.Eagles. I mentioned this to my managers several times, but nothing ever got done about it. So in the end, I decided it would be a lot easier just to change my name to David Eagles. So while I was at work, I was David Eagles. I introduced myself to people as David Eagles, and that's how I was known at work. God, this is a bit boring, isn't it? Bloody hell. Oh, God. Bloody hell. I've said the same thing like 3 or 4 times. No wonder it's taken me 11 o'clock to write this. What an absolute shambles. I do apologise, Phil, if you're having to listen to this. I especially feel sorry for the people reading it. People are reading this, and they don't even get my apology halfway through. They're probably thinking, I think this is a masterpiece. I might have to leave a comment apologising. Anyway, it's getting even longer now. I'll just continue. I think it's nearly finished. It just seemed like the easiest thing to do. I'm still going. It's still bloody going. It just seemed like the easiest thing to do. And anyway, this job had already managed to rob me of my dreams, my sense of optimism and hope, so they might as well rob me of my identity too. Another thing that the editor at the... Well, we're moving on, are we? We're moving on. Another thing that the editor at The Big Issue has somehow managed to do is get the name of our podcast wrong. It is down as the Young's Podcast. Young apostrophe S. You'd have thought the most cursory of reads would have highlighted this mistake. Given that the name of our band is the Young'uns, it's unlikely that we'd call our podcast the Young's Podcast. I don't know how they've managed to make this mistake, given that I wrote the answers. The answers were typed up by me, so all they had to do was just leave what I'd written intact, and it would have all been accurate. I've checked the email that I sent them, and this is what I wrote. Listen to our podcast, The Young'uns Podcast, which features loads of great music, chat, and clips from our gigs. I'm sure that you can work out how to find it. You seem like a clever bunch. But for some reason, this is how the published article reads. Listen to our podcast, The Young'uns Podcast, which features loads of great music, chat, and clips from our gigs. I'm sure that you can find it yourself. You seem like a clever bunch. Well, they've got to be even cleverer now, as they'll have to deduce that this information is incorrect, and that the podcast is in fact called the Young'uns Podcast. If you type the Young'uns Podcast into Google, then you are unlikely to find it. You get Jimmy Young's Podcast, the Young Entrepreneur Podcast, Kirsty Young's Desert Island Discs Podcast, Young Lions Dancehall Reggae Bashment DMB Podcast, Tim Young's Contrast Podcast, etc, etc. If you do type Young's Podcast into Google, we're not even in the first 100 search results. And then I gave up after that. All I can assume is that they've put the article through a spell checker and it's corrected the name. Although, bearing in mind that our band is called the Young'uns... Oh, God, I'm still going with this as well. Fucking hell, this is shit! This is shit! It's terrible! Just saying the same thing over and over again. This is the worst dollop I've done. God. Bearing in mind that our band is called the Young'uns, you'd have thought that they would have realised. And anyway, I think you'll find that I already spell-checked it, and it was all fine. I have employed Jules as my secretary. There you go, a lovely in-joke for the old-time dollop fans there. There may be people reading this article who'll assume that it was me who made that stupid mistake, and they may have then jumped to the conclusion that if I'm stupid enough not to be able to spell my band name properly, then it was probably me who also wrote my own name wrong. Well, I'm putting the record straight here. It's all the Big Issue's doing, not mine. I think you should all boycott The Big Issue and refuse to support any of the homeless people who sell it until I'm given a written apology, and it better be spell-checked properly. Perhaps when they see the devastation and the hardship that they've caused among the homeless community, they will come to realise their wrongdoing and address their failings. If a few homeless people have to die in the process, then so be it. It is a small price to pay for ensuring long-term editorial integrity. P.S. That was David Eagles who wrote that last bit. Actually, it was David Eagles who wrote all of that. David Eagles wrote this dollop, and that's why it's so rubbish. David Eagles, you're an idiot. That was David Eagles who wrote that last bit, whereas David Eagle would not encourage any such thing. So if you found that last bit offensive, address your comments to david.eagles@theyoungs.co.uk. God help me. That was terrible. I think I might go on Facebook and apologise.